unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Oh, we still didn't peak, so that's good.
Welcome to another edition of Unwarranted Music Opinions, the show in which three music fans force each other to listen to albums that they may or may not completely hate, when we gather together at the end of a week and discuss them. I'm Jacob Lindberg, and I'm here with Chaz Jenkins.
Hello!
And Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And today's theme is funny albums. We're going to rate on two scales, enjoyment and how funny we believe the albums are. And to kick things off, the album that I chose isn't a comedy record, but I think it's definitely...
Already you failed.
Chuckle-worthy. I wanted to challenge myself. I didn't want to choose something that was so obviously... trying to be funny.
Right. I think he's trying to say something about us, Brian. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, They Might Be Giants, known for Birdhouse in Your Soul.
They did the
Istanbul.
Theme. They did the theme to Malcolm in the Middle, and they did the theme song and the classic Hot Dog, Hot Diggity Dog from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Basically,
legends.
Just known for being music for nerds everywhere. They did an album about the ABCs, they did an album about science. They've been around for a long time. I decided to go with their debut album, 1986 self-titled album by They Might Be Giants. You could call it indie pop, because it was independent and it's a pop record.
I actually like more...
It's very new wave.
I thought it more...
Yeah. It has a Devo vibe to it.
Yeah, it's like the weirder side of new wave. It's like a little Devo, a little B-52s maybe
there
in there.
There are lots of indie rock as well, I think. With some, yeah. Like, distortion. Or, like, some... I guess what I would, like, you know, some not-so-conventional parts. I wouldn't say they're, like, experimental or something.
No, they're just...
There's a little bit of surf, folk, and polka.
There's a little bit of...
There
there's
too.
A polka, yeah. There's a country track. They genre hop quite a bit. There's a spy, like boom, 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 boom.
And actually some interesting sampling as well.
Yeah, there's a Johnny Cash sample.
Yeah, I love that sample.
I guess, Chaz, I want to hear what you have to say about the sample.
Well, I've been a huge They Might Be Giants fan for a while. To kind of kick off, like, my biggest issue with them just as a band is, like, you'll never find a band with more cryptic lyricism than these guys. You got to dig deep to find out what they're singing about. Even their most notable hits. To this day, I'm still a little bit like, what are you talking about? But that's not hate toward them at all, because their music ability, their musical talent, and the composition and chord structures and is mind-blowing. Birdhouse in Your Soul has 15 key changes in one song, and it's so amazing. And this album, their debut, it's there in its full. Catchy as hell, great chord progressions, excellent songwriting lyrics, even, and I guess if we're talking about funny, there are some clever wordplay at hand here, like Youth Culture Killed My Dog, which is a
and the hip hop and the white funk just blew away my
yeah, or number three, a song literally about, we only wrote two songs, we need a third one, so here it is, yeah, a song about writing a third song.
That was awesome.
Yeah. But the problem is, a lot of the songs, you think, is this, because there's some sad songs on this too, it's like She's an Angel, or Don't Let Start, but at moments when you're thinking, is this supposed to be funny, the lyrics are just too cryptic, where...
Well, that's what I like about They Might Be Giants, is that they always tend to throw in little tidbits where you're like,
oh,
is
so
that
many
serious?
References, and
you're not quite sure.
It's so obscure. So, but that conflict, so when it, am I supposed to laugh at that? And I guess it's just...
But like, I like that. I like that conflict. It makes you kind of confused, and I like that about this album, that it isn't just one note.
Instrumentation is great. It's They Might Be Giants, so they're very skilled at what they do. I like the synth. I like the accordion that's thrown in every once in a while. That sax and Hotel Detective. I think Hotel Detective is my favorite song. What a bop. That song is just so cool. Sax in there really helps that. It's really kooky, too.
It is.
I think that adds to the humor of it, of just, they're not taking themselves too seriously. And I love bands that are weird but aren't pretentious about it. These guys are just having fun in their own nerdy, eccentric way. I thoroughly enjoyed this album. Only one track I didn't care for, and that was Rapid Child.
Yeah, that's my least favorite
album. Of the bunch, it was the least catchy, and I didn't care for the melody that much. But it wasn't a bad song.
And it's only a minute and a half long.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there, no song overstays its welcome.
Right.
Which I really
even the duds on the track listing here don't last very long, and it's right on to the next idea.
Yeah, they're kind of just, what sort of looking for, detours on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from right after Hideaway, Folk Family, a song that I'm not so hot on. It's kind of creepy, but I think it kind of plods along.
I really like the astrology report that just pops in the middle of the song.
Is that the beginning of that song?
It's in the middle of it.
You know why he like says that so straight?
Yeah.
The headphones were on 2-second delay and they were looping his audio, so he was like...
He's like,
the funniest part of the whole album is during that report, the way he says Aquarius. It's like, Aquarius! It's just...
I love how catchy this album is. Every song has a little moment where it's like, wow, that is going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the week. Like, no question.
Absolutely.
The album, for me, doesn't... It gets off to an okay start with Everything Right Is Wrong Again. It's kind of like a weird little, I guess, like, indie moment. I don't really know how to describe the sounds on this album. I'm not actually totally familiar with the albums like this, like, sounds on albums like this, I don't think. So I have a hard time describing it, because it fuses a lot of things.
Have you ever listened to some Devo?
No.
Then, okay.
It's like new wavy indie pop.
Yeah.
From the 80s indie pop. Not what indie pop means today, but like actual, like...
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I do understand what you're saying.
Cheaply recorded, cheap instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
those drums are so cheap, but, it adds to the charm.
It's awesome.
It adds to the charm.
$10 maybe, whatever, back in the day. There's one track especially, I think it's one of my least favorite tracks. The drum machine is on absolutely Bill's mood. I hate the drum machine on that track for some reason. There's something going on in the left channel. There's some white noise or something, and the reverb is hitting the vocals on that side, and it's distracting, and I don't really like it. I do like the little weird guitar solo that brings us in. My favorite song is Don't Let's Start. Lyrically, there's nothing that's, like, profound on this album, or I wouldn't even call anything deep. I think there are moments of, like, you all said, like, flashes of realism, but I don't read into anything on it too seriously. I didn't feel like there was a need to.
I don't think you're supposed to with the Giants.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, but it has the catchiest chorus, like, don't let it start, and the way, like, the strums there.
Yeah.
I like that little second of silence. It adds a lot to the song to let it breathe, because it's pretty hectic. I guess if I had to pick, like, a favorite little, in quotes, interlude, or, like, minute below 2 minutes, it's Nothing's Gonna Change My Clothes.
Oh, absolutely.
That part's awesome.
That's just a great little two-minute pop song, for
32
sure.
32 Footsteps is an okay little moment, but, like, after we get that into Toddler Highway, into Rabid Child, that part of the album, like...
It's a little bit of a lull.
This album feels longer than the Tenacious D album, and it's, like, 10 minutes shorter.
Nah, I disagree.
Just because, you know, I think around the middle, several detours in a row has never been a favorite thing of mine. If you recall on Buckethead Land 2, I wanted to die on that, like, 45
I think
second.
It reminds me of when you were saying about Minutemen, where it's so short, but it's so dense that it feels longer than it is. And I kind of agree. Like, lyrically, there's so much to... Because of their references and obscure little things they say where you're like... What does that mean?
I would say it's a hang-up with the Giants, because, like, they're not on the... Like, Minutemen are creating very short tracks, but they're doing a lot in that little span of time.
But I'd say these guys are too...
I think that They Might Be Giants are also doing that.
And they've been doing this for...
On the longer song, sure, but I'm talking about on, like, 32 Footsteps,
I think,
Highway, Rabbit Child, all of which are under, like, 50
but
seconds.
But did you mention... I think even on the track 32 Footsteps, which isn't one of my favorite on the album, like, I noticed more things about it. Like, I've been listening to this album. I've discovered it when I was, like, 15, and... I listened to it a ton, and then I stopped listening to it for a while because I was just moving on to other stuff, and then I came back to it for this, and I had never realized there are bongos on 32 Footsteps. And it's like that for every, even the little short tracks, they throw in some extra little musical idea, even if the melody isn't amazing. They'll just try something cool and creative, and it kind of keeps my attention even if a song isn't my favorite. So even though there's a bit of a lull from Hideaway Folk Family through Rabid Child, which is near the beginning of the album, I still think, because of the brevity of those tracks and because of the different musical ideas, I'm not really bored by them.
I think my favorite leg of this album is Nothing's Gonna Change My Clothes all the way to Boat of Car. I think every song within that range, including Boat of Car, which is another shorter moment on the album, I think every song within there is pretty good, and some of them are great. I think Youth Culture Killed My Dogs is my second favorite thing on this second favorite.
I love
song.
That little surfy rock kind of vibe they got going in that song.
It's
really
cool. It's one of the very, very few songs on here with some subtext to read into a little bit. They're kind of like, there's like, when you really think about what they're saying, there's critiques here that are hard to, the furthest from surface level they can be.
Right.
It's saying things like Youth Culture Killed My Dog. It's like when you sit down to write something and you take a phrase and you're like, how can I recreate that to be more artsy, I guess? And then you go and you get to a point where you reach a Youth Culture Killed My Dog, which is not only like a catchy refrain on this thing, but it's kind of
I could see it on a t-shirt or something.
It's like a social critique of sorts. I'm not able to totally...
I'd say She's an Angel is probably like the least funniest, but it's the most...
It's one of the catchiest on the record.
And it's a beautiful... It's kind of a beautiful song. I definitely...
Mm-hmm. I pretty much hated that song when I first heard it, but as I listened more and more, it grew on me, but I don't totally love it. It's my...
So why didn't you like it? Because it's not, like, annoying or anything.
The way the chorus kind of plods along, I don't find it to be totally catchy. Like, as it's, you know, do you have to fling yourself off a roof? Like, it's... What they're saying has never bothered me because they're not trying to make a point or anything. Sometimes they're just saying stuff that's catchy, and which I think is hilarious and adds a lot to the album just for the, you know, the fun factor and the fun, like one of the second track, Put Your Hand Inside the Puppet Head, like that song most absurd song on
there. the synth
yes, I love on that track. I underrate that track when I'm listening, but like on She's an Angel, I don't know, I just think the band's not doing what really...
I really love, I think one of the catchiest songs in my opinion is I Hope That I Get Old Before I Die.
Oh yeah,
what a... that, like, that's the kind of song where, like, they, and during their live performances, they would have big giant cue cards and say, like, have people sing along.
And the drum machine. Okay, this is another one of those details that I didn't quite catch that stands out on multiple listens. The drum machine on Hope That I Get Old Before I Die, you listen to the song and you're it's the chorus, it's the you know, lots of people singing at the same time, the vocals and the melody that gets you. But if you listen to it, the drum machine is going crazy the whole time. Like, it keeps switching up and, like, doing just weird things in the background.
I think when this album's coming to a close, it kind of loses its footing when you get to the last three tracks. It regains composure.
I disagree, too.
I disagree totally.
Everyone's slowing down. It regains composure on the last track, which is probably my third favorite. If I had to pick a top three, it's Rhythm Section 1 ad. And
that's a funny
culture, and then Don't Let's Start. The rhythm, like, as we're going in, I just don't think the sounds are coming together in a way as the tracks progress that is like it becomes frustrating because I feel like I've heard so much at this point and it's doing so much, but it's not, there's nothing to read into, so you're really just trying to listen to the music. And sometimes I don't find it to be totally engaging, or like one moment on the album leaps to the next without much thought for cohesion, which I understand they weren't doing in the first place, I'm not saying it's good because it's trying to do that.
I will say that, I guess if you had to say an issue with this album structurally is that it does not flow. No track like leads into another. I don't feel like they place
these...
I don't think they place these tracks in any particular order to make a point. I think it's just...
No, I think...
These are just a lot of good songs.
I think they...
Yeah, it's just put together.
Like, maybe around the beginning of the album, things are a little more cohesive, but I mean, I don't know. I find... When I say that, I kind of find that I'm stretching.
I agree. I agree with Brian on that. I don't...
And she was a hotel...
But that's not a bad thing. It's just...
I disagree. I think it flows pretty well, even though it doesn't, like... It's not themed. I think that musically, it sort of lets you take a rest a little bit with slower songs... it doesn't have a whole bunch of upbeat tracks right in front of each other. And I think, especially like the last three songs on the album, Alienations for the Rich, which is one of my favorites on the album, the key change, man, gets me every time when he just goes for it vocally.
Did you know that was one of the first songs one of the Johns ever wrote?
I did not know that.
In his early band, The Turtlenecks.
I believe it. The Day, which is just funny and just kind of silly, and then Rhythm Section 1 I think is a great closer.
It's a fantastic closer. Fantastic song in general.
Yeah, I do think that even though there's a lot of different ideas musically, I don't think that it's disconnected in any way. When I'm listening to this, it doesn't feel jarring, the changes.
I think to kind of give another example of why I feel like the track listing doesn't work is sometimes with sonic cohesion is after Hideaway Folk Family, a song that I immediately don't like, so maybe this is part of this reasoning. As that song kind of plods along, it is creepy and I like the atmosphere it creates. It's a one-of-a-kind track on this album, I think. But then we go into 32 Footsteps, Toddler Highway, Rabbit Child, all of which do have a similar tone, but it kills the flow for me when we, you know, there's not one thing being presented here. It's, you know, we're crashing into this sound for about, you know, half a minute, and then this and a half a minute, and then this a half a minute, and then we find, like, oh, nothing's going to change my clothes. I do like the shift back to a more upbeat tone, but I wish the cool down moment, if you will, wasn't spread across so many tracks. I would have been fine with going from Hideaway Folk Family into Nothing's Gonna Change My Clothes. In fact, I think taking off those three interludes would add a lot to the album.
I want to talk.
I don't disagree. Those are my. That's my least favorite part of the album.
It really makes the album drag for me. I know maybe I'm just being overly complainty about it, but like I don't know.
No,
I really,
it just doesn't bother me that much. Yeah. I think that the quality of the other songs.
But I definitely get that. I'm kind of neutral about
it. I like Hideaway Folk Family, so the other three tracks there, it's only a little over 3 minutes in total. So that's a little over 3 minutes of this album, which is almost 40 minutes long. And the quality of the other tracks. It doesn't really take away from my enjoyment of the album all that much. The album as a whole.
Brian, how much did you, like, laugh when you listened to this?
When I was listening to this? If we're talking about how funny this album was...
Because there is funny moments, but like I said...
Put your hand inside the puppet head made me laugh really hard a couple times.
It's
so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not a laugh-out-loud kind of album. It's more of a grin and chuckle album. It's an album that puts a smile on your face.
It's very tongue-in-cheek.
It's an album that you're just like, all right, you just have a smile on your face.
Yeah, and in any Giants project, you're going to have one. Because they're really fun guys.
I did have a big grin on my face with the intro track, too, because I just think the vocal delivery is pretty funny. The way he's delivering the lines, everything right is wrong again. I guess another funny moment would be she was a hotel detective. Just the upbeat nature of the song, and it's meant to be. You know, it's pretty. You know, taking.
I think Youth Culture Killed My Dog is the funniest track.
Really?
I think Alienation is for the Rich is one of the funnier ones.
That's more. Really? I don't know. I feel like the message in that is more poignant than funny.
It is, but that's what's so good about They Might Be Giants is they can do them both at once. I feel like.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
I gotta go to work, get some pay. My son's going to art school. It's just kind of funny. And then when he just belts it when the key change comes in, it's like. You know, you feel it, but at the same time, it's still really silly. And it's a country song on an album with very little
with
like
polka.
It.
It's a
and sometimes they're trying to and sometimes you know the track titles themselves are going to be funny, like just the or maybe they're a fun play on words, like nothing's going to change my clothes. I was so excited to hear that track the first time. Put Your Hand Inside the Puppet Head is like I don't know, maybe that is one of my favorite tracks.
It's great. The synth melody, okay,
it's really
the way
good.
That the
it's
synth
hooking.
Melody changes onto the chorus,
yeah,
like do 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 do.
I love it's like the synth is. Sprinting. It grew
yeah, it's awesome.
These guys know how to compose some very, like, intriguing...
I don't know. Don't Let Start, in terms of catchiness, is, like, my absolute favorite song. And every time it comes on, I'm like, yes, like, I'm so happy this song is playing.
That's me with Hotel Detective. I love that
song. I agree. That's one of my favorite things about the album, Chaz, is the composition and the fact that when you come back to this album multiple times, you find... some little instrumental flourish that you
and
didn't catch before.
This style of composing would just increase and improve from each album they've released.
Like, I don't know. This is my favorite They Might Be Giants album.
I don't know. 14,
is this their,
15
is this
key changes in one song and Birdhouse in Your Soul.
I'm just saying that.
Impressive to me.
I can look through this track listing here and I pretty much can recall every single chorus on this album.
I will say it doesn't bother me that I can look at this. I can do just about the same with a lot of tracks.
This is an earworm of an album.
It's very, very
there are very few tracks. Like, I would call Chess Piece Face maybe one that's not as memorable, but it's an okay track.
And yeah,
maybe
that's
like
and that's kind of like an in-joke between the band.
Well, it's a character they made as a part. And Alienation for the Rich isn't like catchy, but like admittedly it falls into part of the album where I kind of feel like it's not even a song that maybe needs to be on the album.
I know it's one of my favorites.
It maybe offers the most lyrical substance on the album, but I don't know, I'm just not into the sounds or what the track is doing, and I guess I would rather go from I Hope That I Get Old Before I Die into Rhythm Section 1A. I just don't really like the sonic progression as we go from track 16 to Alienations into the Day, but then when we get to Rhythm Section 1 ad, I mean, that song's amazing, so it's like, that's fine, we're here now.
For me, like, I just...
There's only like, two spots on the album like that.
80% of this album I loved. There was only like a few moments where I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And the only one I didn't like was Rabbit Child. I knew going in what I would probably get, and I was not disappointed one bit. I love this band. It's definitely one of my favorite bands, just... And which is odd, because I never really took the time to listen more of their catalog. Especially their older catalog, I'm more into their newer stuff. If this is what their older stuff is like, I'm sure I'll be a huge fan of.
Absolutely, yeah. Their mid to late 80s through early 90s, I think, is their best period.
And they're oh,
I do have a couple of criticisms of this album and stuff that holds me back from thinking it's really great. Like, I mean, I have criticisms of this album, and I'm not I don't really think differently of them now that we're here talking about it. I just think I wish maybe they'd spread out those interlude tracks across the album so that. It didn't feel so disjointed right in the middle and kill the momentum of the record for me a little bit. And towards the end, I think that happens again to a lesser degree. There's still plenty of catchy songs on this thing. There's clearly an absurd sense of humor here that I can identify with and get with. And I think a lot of the songs are pretty catchy, and the production's not really an issue at any point. Sure, sometimes the drum machine does sound like crap, like on,
but it's charming.
On the track.
But I love the fact that it sounds like...
Sometimes it plays to its advantage, but it does take away.
They're getting everything they possibly can out of it.
Like,
on
if
this
one...
album.
Yeah. Like I was saying on the Absolutely Bill's Mood, it completely takes away from the track for me. It ends up being one of my least favorite tracks, but, I'd say like a light 7 on this thing. It is enjoyable. I do like this record. I was thinking, you know, I'm just critical of it because I think it could have been more cohesive or could have flowed better, and maybe it would have elevated it even more. I just think they held this album back a little bit by maybe jamming too many ideas into it.
Funny scale?
Funny scale? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10 for funny, it would rank on the lower side. I'd probably give it like a strong 4 out of 10 for funny, but I would say that just represents how funny the funny tracks are overall. I think this album is, of the three we chose, is one of the smarter ones in terms of humor, I guess.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that.
Like, for youth culture, the sense of humor there is kind of like, you know...
It's nerd humor. You've got
It's tongue-in-cheek. It's not laugh-out-loud humor at any point in this
it's
album.
It's a thinking joke. It's a thinking man's joke. It's not a Tenacious D, if you will.
I give it an 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, like, knew what I was getting into, and I was not disappointed one bit. A lot of great songs. Even the songs I don't like have some catchy element to them at some point in the song. But a lot of songs throughout the thing are very catchy. I'll definitely be picking a lot of these songs up. I might pick the whole album up. I don't know. It definitely makes me want to get more into their older catalog. Hotel Detective is an A+ song. I love that track.
Number 3 is the funniest song on this thing. Sorry.
Yeah. I think number 3, you know, more thing about it, it's either Youth Culture or number 3. Because number 3 is literally... What a concept for a song.
Put your hand inside the bump in it. What the first song, put your hand inside
and,
the bump in it.
And give it a 5 out of 10 on the funny scale. Like kind of like Brian, definitely more tongue-in-cheek, nerd humor. You kind of got to think about
this
it.
This isn't your sense of humor. It's not going to immediately, you know, you probably won't even think it's that.
This is humor-wise, not for everybody, but that's okay. And it doesn't take away from the album as an experience, because it's phenomenally done. The MIB Giants are a great band.
And the songwriting is great on this thing.
Yeah.
Lyrics, these guys are killer.
I get the criticisms, and I would actually agree with them. I just think they don't bother me that much, and I enjoy the rest of the album.
Even when we disagree.
At such a high level, though. I enjoy the rest of this album much.
I think that's partly informed maybe by, you know, you used to listen when you were younger, so
yeah, but
back.
Coming back to it now,
is it still as funny as you remember it being?
I'm hearing all of these elements in the composition and in the instrumentation that I didn't catch the first time. And it's probably because, you know, listening to this for this podcast was the first time I listened to it with my nice, good headphones. So I'm hearing, like, the tone on the synth on Put Your Hand Inside the Puppet Head and all of the things that the drum machine is doing in the background, just spastic, which you said you didn't enjoy it on Absolutely Bill's Mood. I actually thought that made the track for me. I just loved how wacky it was. It was just strange. And I think that pretty much every song here that I didn't mention as being not one of my favorites is like a solid 9 out of 10. I just want to come back to all of them. They're extremely earwormy and extremely creative musically. Again, the compositions here are absolutely fantastic, and they just genre hop, and I feel like they do everything that they attempt justice for the most part. I'm at like a 9 out of 10 on this thing. I just think that when the songwriting is very good, it's very, very good. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely recommend this album to anyone looking to get into this band.
And on a funny scale?
On a funny scale, I'm going to go with like a 6. You know, it's not a laugh out loud, like I said, but it's one that'll put a smile on your face through the runtime.
4, 5, 6.
I think 7, 8, 9. I think like... it's creepy. Do we summon something? if I could sing the praises of the songwriting and something, and I think they're versatile to a fault for me. If I could summarize my thoughts, I think they make catchy songs and write them in a way that's, to most of the time, to the song's advantage. I just think that the little detours and the breaks and the interludes kind of hurt the album more than they do for it. And I also think that I think this thing maybe is versatile to a fault, in my opinion.
I disagree, but I accept what you said.
Brian, listen to Flood. Listen to Flood.
No.
Okay.
First First things first, I'm a craftsman. Remodeling is my only passion.
It's my passion.
And I'm the greatest in the business.
I picked Mandatory Fun, the 2014 release from Weird Al Yankovic, famed comedy music maker, popular on YouTube with his videos that satirized pop music. Everything from Michael Jackson to gangster rap. With songs like Fat, White and Nerdy, etc. and so on. Probably songs that you've heard of. If you're not, I highly suggest checking them out. The humor in those videos doesn't really get dated because it's kind of an Andrew WK situation with Weird Al, where he's so genuinely into that style of humor and actually so well-versed in it that even if you don't find it funny, I think you'll appreciate what's going on. This album is pretty much the same. There are a lot of songs on Mandatory Fun where he's parodying contemporary songs, let's say Fancy by Iggy Azalea, which has aged really well, by the way. And the there are some tracks on here, actually not sure what they're parodying. Blurred Lines with Word Crimes.
Radioactive with Inactive.
And Tacky is a
satire. And there's a handful of style parodies also.
There's some Fosse, exactly Stills, and Nash. I'm very curious to think what you think of.
Oh yeah, I gotta talk about that. And there's a Pixies style parody. There's a Foo Fighters style parody. And then there's another band
and
that
Cat Stevens, which is the...
There is a Cat Stevens, which... It's kind of Cat Stevens-y, but then I don't really think there's not really a Cat Stevens epic.
That track in general, just as a funny track, is actually one of the funniest, I think. It's really, it really pays off when you listen to the whole thing. I think I'll just say, like, my favorite songs on this thing right off the bat are probably Tacky. I actually think Handy's hilarious. Handy has aged better than the song Fancy, which was trash.
I think the best song, though, in my opinion, is Word Crimes. What a beautiful...
It's funny because he reinvents these songs. Like, he's literally copy-pasting the songwriting from the verse to chorus. But, like, they're still really funny and, like...
Well, do you know how hard that is to do? Weird Al doesn't get enough credit as a musician because his ability of as a lyricist is phenomenal. How he not only... Any parody song can just replace some words with other words, but he individually, like, makes sure that the syllables line up with the lyrics of the original song.
I don't think that's that hard.
No!
No,
it is hard to do! And
there's a thing about Weird Al that's different than a lot of different other parody musicians, is that when a Weird Al song comes on, you're at first, before the vocals come in, you're not sure if you're listening to the original.
Yeah, he not only does that with the lyrics, but he makes sure to copy the sound exactly.
And it's not like he's taking the, you know, the track from the original.
He's redoing it.
And if he's getting the production, like, bang on when it's... when it works.
Perhaps I underrate that then.
It's more difficult. It's deceptively difficult.
Especially like when he does rap songs like, oh my god.
Amish Paradise.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're listening to the original.
Yeah, that one especially. Or like, you know, Fat's kind of that way too. Knowing I was listening to Weird Al kind of killed that for me because I could play on the album looking at Weird Al, you know what I mean? So it's like, okay. It's not like it comes on.
But no, as a lyricist, Weird Al does not get enough credit.
I thought I was actually going to give him more credit for making family friendly funny because he.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that in the Polka Melody. This is super awesome. That gets me every time. I laugh at that every time.
I'm a sucker for mashups that just use pop songs that are all.
I think
the same timing.
I love his Polka Melodies on all of his albums. I think this one is my personal favorite.
It's a great,
it's
great
one of my favorites.
It's nice. It's in a great spot on the album too. Like, it's in a nice spot.
I'm telling you, and I never thought I'd say this, but when it gets to Get Lucky in polka style, I get shivers. I got shivers on my first listen. I was like,
that's
Weird
Al,
you made me get shivers to polka music. Like, it's so good.
I think Handy is like a perfect opener.
I agree.
That track actually makes me laugh.
I love the concept of a really, really overconfident and like
handyman.
I think one of my favorite songs that I knew I heard well before we did this was Foil. Oh man, that's like the smartest
impression
on this whole album.
Just
and
out
way,
of nowhere,
and like, it's another great songwriting moment because he's like preserving food and conspiracy theories all revolving around aluminum foil. I thought it was
that moment when he just goes, "I'm protected because I wear this hat of aluminum foil."
No,
I laugh every time.
Verse, like, you know, he's like, "Preserve my food in aluminum foil." And you get to the second verse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh by
the
way,
I cracked the code.
It's like, what?
There's definitely a lot of laugh out funny moments on this, and any good Weird Al.
I love the part in the 9-minute Jackson ballad, I believe.
Jackson Park Express.
Jackson Park Express, where he's like, I'm pulling up the track list for the record, where he's like, and I give her a look that says, I want to wear your skin, but not in a creepy way.
Okay,
that's
so
awesome.
I'm kind of conflicted on that song. For one, it's definitely one of the better, like, long songs I've heard, at least for the podcast.
Do you mean in, like, ever?
Well, yeah. But there are moments where I think it
that
just...
That makes me so mad.
That makes me furious.
I
like this song, but...
It's a fine song, and there's a lot of funny moments in it, but I think it just goes on a little too long.
No,
just
but the
little,
whole point is it goes long, because it's funny at first, because it's like, I give her... Because
it gets more ridiculous
as it
goes.
I give her a look that says, like, you know, hey...
I like your boobs.
That part's really funny, where he just says that. But, like, you know, he's like, I want to start a chicken farm with
you. I don't hate it. Just there's... I don't know, I liked it better on my first listen, but on my second listen I was like,
my favorite songs on this thing like cycle all the time. Mission Statement actually is a moment that's like somewhat serious in its lyricism.
No,
you
want to talk about
it.
Great lyricism, that
yeah, like,
it's
no,
so
I love writing. Mission Statement, because as soon as it came on I was like, oh my god, of all the artists to parody, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young is one of my favorite bands ever. They're one of the bands that got me
does
into
he get
music.
The style down?
That song is like a mashup of two different songs. It starts with Carry On, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, that's Carry On, and then the last half of the track is Judy Blue Eyes, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. So it's two of, like, some of my favorite music ever.
It's saying let's make money in the most ridiculous corporate way.
It's meant to be, if all the songs on here, it's the only one I would call, like, biting, like, where it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of a smart
thing. I will say, and
it's nothing new, but...
It's kind of hit or miss with Weird Al's discography. Sometimes his original songs, his style parodies are good. Sometimes they're not. For this album, generally, I like most of his style, like sports songs.
I don't think I dislike any song on here
yeah,
a lot. Really.
Oh, yeah, I think there's only one I don't care for that much. But I like sports songs, Mission Statement, First World Problems. They're
it's
great
the
songs.
Pixies. That starts
song.
With
yeah.
the bass line to the baser, the buh, 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 bum, bum, bum.
I think my only song I don't really care for that much is My Own Eyes, which is the Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
and I love
that
Foo Fighters.
Too. It's funny because I know I hate Foo Fighters, so
yeah.
I hear it and I'm like, ah, no. It's like,
well, see, this thing, I don't.
He captured their sound perfectly.
Yeah, he does, but I don't.
Yeah.
I love Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters is one of my favorite bands.
Oof.
I dislike them.
I know, but
stop
it's not even
it.
A bad track. It's a funny concept. I think that's my biggest issue with this album is that sometimes the jokes don't land as well as they should, because there's every song has a funny concept and a lot of them are like laugh out loud moments. But just in my own eyes, I think is the biggest one where I get the setup and punchline, but it doesn't hit as hard.
Right,
as
that's probably one of my least
yeah,
favorite tracks.
Yeah, there's nothing really funny.
And because musically, Foo Fighters are bland.
Yeah,
shut up. Anyway, and that's another point too. The songs he's parodying. The original songs, maybe not Blurred Lines, but sonically, I actually enjoy too. Like you said,
wow, you're like fancy.
When it came out, I didn't hate it.
Okay.
But so hearing the parody makes me enjoy it even
Royals
more.
Royals is a decent song.
Yeah,
it's decent.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
So hearing the parody makes me enjoy it even more because I like the original thing. That's why some of the songs he parodies in the past, where it's like I hate that song to begin with. And his parody's funny, but I don't like the music because he's parodying a song
I
hated. I
think his choices are pretty smart for what he does parody. I think
Like
especially for the bigger songs like Foil, like and Handy and Tacky, like he actually picked some songs that are gonna be remembered for a really long time as like some great pop.
Especially
songs.
His
even
folk
by
melody.
Even by people who might be like more lukewarm on them, people will know those songs and they're at least you know, I don't see anyone hating those songs for anything other than they're overplayed.
And I also really like how he puts those really, really well-known pop songs, modern stuff, right next to these pastiches of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and the Pixies, and all these older bands.
It's smart. It's really
I love Lame Claim to Fame.
It might be
the funniest song that I didn't know.
There's a lot of great moments in that song.
Yeah,
know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows Kevin Bacon. Awesome. Bathroom Stall next to Jonah Hill. Awesome. Hilarious.
I like he rhymed Taco Bell with Steve Carell.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That I don't think there's like, they're like, okay, on My Own Eyes, I think you guys are right. It's kind of like not that funny. Sports Song gets really funny as a
That's
guy.
A great
it's
song.
A, it's a grower as well as a comedy.
And I love how he wrote it in a way where there's moments where he says, by the way, we're not being serious.
Yeah.
As if to say, if you guys want to perform this at your own sports, like, event,
I would love
that
would be so much better than like the standard
now that Mission Statement is it's not like weaker I guess it's just instrumentally made it's not as exciting or as funny as
no instrumentally it's one of it's parodying some of my favorite songs of all time Brian
right
calm
sure.
down
but
Jacob, the world doesn't center around you.
It does.
And this is my fault for not having the reference material, because my catalog should be deeper. It's my fault for not having heard it. That's true.
I love the bass on Mission Statement, because it sounds just like the way the bass is produced on the original albums. Like, that's me as a Crosby, Stills, and Nash fan.
Is that like
it's
a weird moment for you? Think that would be a moment of like, this is wrong.
I was like, ha, that sounds, they got the bass production
inactive
down. It sounds like,
and that's
60s.
Why, as a musician, Weird Al is phenomenal. His ability to write and produce is so genius.
His ability to recreate the sounds in a very, very accurate way.
And he's not just a great musician, but he's a great person. He always goes to every musician and is like, can I pair this song? They say no, he won't do it. Even though he doesn't have to ask for permission. But the fact that he not only asks, but there's, like, with the Radioactive, Inactive, the guys, Imagine Dragons, while they're not the greatest band, they're pretty cool. Like, when he said, can I parody your song? They're like, sure. Actually, here's how we got that sound in our own.
Yeah,
when
that's
song.
One of the most accurate ones.
And he's like, thank you.
It's
like,
an amazing sequel to Fat, too. I just think in my head it's that same guy from the video. Yeah, I have like very little complaint. First World Problems is another funny moment. Like, there's not really a song on here besides My Own Eyes that I didn't think was like at least kind of funny. It's all pretty well produced, and the sounds it is parodying, I think it captures the sound. Like, Tacky is another one that's like, it's pretty much.
And it was the first comedy album to be the number one on the Billboard Top 100.
It's his first album to get to number one at all. This is his most
successful. Like, it's not only his first album, but one of the first comedy albums to ever get, like, that's an achievement.
Purely centered around, well, I think it's in a time
and of
time
course
where
he won the Grammy, like, which he should, because it's weird, freaking out.
Well, I think we're at a point where he was in a, because he blew up on the internet, and in this digital age, we're in a point where more and more people are going to have access to his material and be able to appreciate it. And I think that is partly,
and if you listen to his older stuff,
his smart,
it's aged beautifully.
His smart picks and his funny and like can go to a totally general audience.
It's so contagious.
Like, probably really got him out there. It probably got him to that point. And I'm consistently like impressed on this thing, honestly, with how it doesn't need to swear, it doesn't need to be crude. It takes a humor that you could like show a kid and they'd be like, haha, you know.
Right. It everybody can enjoy it, and that's one of the things I enjoy about Weird Al.
I appreciate that.
I grew up with Weird Al.
Me
hardcore.
Too.
Yeah, of course. Hardcore. I imagine all of us did. Who didn't see Fat back when it like came out?
Eat it. Who like? Oh,
eat it.
Still
amazing.
A bop. Still a bop to this day.
I just want him to cover more Michael Jackson songs.
That's. See, for some reason, Weird Al's best material is when he covers Michael Jackson. It's so funny.
I don't know. I think one of his best songs,
Amish Paradise,
ever
is Wide and Nerdy.
On Here is Foil. I think that's right up there.
On Here, I take Word Crimes. That's such a.
See, I would go with
literally
Handy.
Makes me want to smack the crowbar.
Handy.
Oh, Handy. Handy's
Handy.
Really funny.
Yeah.
or the moment, there's another moment on Word Crimes that's really funny where the little like deep voice underneath is like, a contraction is a word that is separated with the use of an apostrophe.
My favorite is
a word. It's awesome.
Just now you said you literally couldn't get out of bed. That makes me want to literally smack a crowbar across your stupid head. That
yeah.
gets me every time.
Reminds me of when Father John Misty called out the use of the word literally in his 2015 album.
What was that album called?
I Love You, Honey Bear.
Okay. I don't know why I asked that. Tacky has a lot of funny lines, like the
My
belt was.
I'll take a pick of the deceased. I think my favorite line.
Yes, that is actually a really funny and smart moment. That moment was like,
I think my favorite line, like, it has nothing to do with everything he's been saying, but says, if I get bit by a zombie, I'm not telling you. Like, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like a weird moment. Or the second verse where that's what Kanye West keeps, now I'm dropping names almost constantly, that's what Kanye West keeps telling me, here's why. Because I'm tacky. It's funny. It's making fun of people in a way that's like not mean or targeting anyone. It's like, don't
like,
you think you're being
no one hates Weird Al for a reason. Because
yeah.
it's Weird Al.
He's not being rude or at any point in this album making any sort of joke that like literally everyone could get on with these jokes unless you just were into, you know, completely.
The only issue
humor.
Is if you don't like the songs he's parodying, it may make it more difficult for you to enjoy the lyricism.
We can't argue against that because we hate My Own Eyes. And to a degree,
that's
I hear
true.
It and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's the real.
I mean, when Active starts, I am kind of like, I hear that, I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then, you know.
Oh, by the way, that Inhaler moment, that parody's like the breath.
That
is genius.
This album is pretty consistently funny and is actually like really enjoyable. It's never a problem to listen to this thing. Even with the 9-minute closer, it's fine.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
agree.
Nothing drags.
Only criticism I'd have about the 9-minute closer is, It's Cat Stevens-y. Whenever it has that like really loud guitar strum and then it stops, I was like, man, that's Cat Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
But then I don't really know. It gets less Cat. That's about the only Cat Stevens-y part. I feel like that's one of his least accurate style parodies.
Parodies, yeah.
Yeah, I only got a little bit of Cat Stevens, not a lot of Cat Stevens.
If you were going on that. See, I guess my perception of this thing's a little warped because I'm not actually understanding all the influences going into this thing. Sometimes I'm just...
He makes up for it with how accurate the Crosby, Stills, and Nash parody is, though.
Okay. Sometimes I'm just hearing something I think is good instrumentally, and I don't know where it's from. But I understand that it's all more parodied. I mean, Sports Song is a parody of Marching Band. And I like that he doesn't just do big songs. He kind of, you know, goes obscure. Or goes to, obscure for maybe your average music listener.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling an 8 out of 10. Both on the funny and the album scale. Great album, and it's got a lot of laugh out loud funny moments. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm going to go with an 8 out of 10 on the funny scale. This was... consistently I didn't really have a laugh out loud moment, but I don't laugh out loud at a lot of things really.
It's like smiling is how I myself a lot.
I was like man, that's clever.
Yeah.
On the enjoyment scale, I'm gonna go with like a solid 7. Like, this isn't, I'm not really gonna come back to a lot of albums like
it's
this.
Definitely not my favorite just because it's so enjoyable to me. I don't think there's a Weird Al album that I would give less than an 8, but it's not my favorite Weird Al album. Definitely,
it's definitely stands out from other artists attempting to do similar things. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he's proving that he knows what he's doing.
He's been around
and
since
he
the
still
early 80s.
Is remaining relevant by, again, like Brian said, choosing very, very relevant songs that people are going to remember.
Artist, have you heard the saying? You've made it if Weird Al parodies you. Like,
yeah.
And there's a reason that's true.
It's true. Well, I mean, yeah, two of these are... two of them have Pharrell all over them. Pharrell's everywhere nowadays. Pharrell Williams, mm-hmm. who's on, specifically on Happy, and that's his biggest song ever. He will never top that as far as, like, if he were to top that, I don't know what could be bigger than that song. And Blurred Lines, which he helped produce, and he's on that track as well. I didn't want this thing being a comedy album to the limit how much I enjoyed it. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to give it a ceiling, you know what I mean, because it was a comedy album. So kind of like a strong 7 to a light 8. It's pretty enjoyable. Pretty great at times and like smart and like pretty funny. I think the production is like great to the degree that it can copy some of these songs, like Inactive especially comes to mind, and Tacky, Handy to a lesser degree, but still. And
funny scale
probably like a decent 8. It's funny. It's really funny. It's funnier than most albums that try to be funny, and it's funnier than most things that are funny for the wrong reasons. So, and it's trying to do that, and the jokes are funny, they're clever, the song topics are generally speaking, you know, based in like something kooky. So like, what if the song is about a handyman? It's funny how he takes songs and reframes them. It's like, what if you take the song Happy, kind of this upbeat pop, and you know, pop tune, kind of like groovy, and we make it about, you know, dressing like a dork and just being in general a kind of annoying, inconsiderate person. So I don't know. I think it's pretty smart, and I think it's really funny. 8 on both scales.
And best song in the world.
I've chosen the debut album by the greatest band in the world, Tenacious D, a band that needs no introduction. Frontmen Jack Black and Kyle Gass formed in the late, no, I'd say early 90s. They met up in some, I think, acting class? And what was funny is that they didn't like each other right off the bat, but they got to know each other because Jack Black was like, Kyle, can you teach me how to play guitar? And he's like, all right, sure. And then they became like the best of friends. They became a comedy duo, starred in some kind of not very well-known comedies, like Biodome and Bong Water, making cameos as the band.
I didn't know any of this.
Their big thing was when they got their own HBO series with the help of Bob Odenkirk and David Cross called Tenacious D. A lot of the songs you've heard in this album is referenced to the show. Like Kyle Quits the Band, Tribute, Kielbasa, just to name a few. Show's hilarious. They've since released 2 other studio albums. They have a 4th one coming out very soon. They had a movie, which is an underrated classic, I might add. Did not deserve it.
Underrated. People love that.
Yeah, well, it did not deserve the hate it got when it came out. That was just stupid. So it's a really hilarious movie. This album is hilarious. I haven't listened to this in a long time. It's kind of similar to They Might Be Giants for Jacob. I listened to this in middle school. This is one of my favorite bands growing up, and still is one of my favorite bands of all time. I find them to be hilarious, very charming, really silly, but Going in this was very nostalgic for me. Like, right off the bat, I was courting this album from start to finish. I knew every word to every song. See, I listened the crap out of this
album. I knew Tribute and Wonder Boy. I love Tribute, so I was just waiting for Tribute to play. This album doesn't get off to a great start. Kielbasa is really not that funny, and I kind of cringe when
it's
I hear
so
something
stupid.
It's
so stupid.
And I understand I'm not, like, above it. I'm not, like,
your
I'm
butt
above
cheeks
this
is warm.
That line's funny. I'm not above, like, you know, like, dick humor, but, like, I just don't think it's, I can't say that. I'm not above penis humor, but, like, I don't think, you can say penis, it's what it is. It's what it is, you know, he's talking about, like, I don't know, I think it's kind of cringy at first, it's not an amazing way to start, but,
I don't know, just,
it's
that,
kind of, it's catchy.
It has a great start where he's like, dude, we gotta write something.
Yes, that is awesome, where he's like, ah, we gotta write something new. Off to a bad start, didn't like that. It was awesome.
It's just ironic, because you're like, the album doesn't have an off to a bad start.
But as the song goes on, like, the first few seconds, I'm like, huh, this is funny, they're messing around, and it's like, you know, hey, what, I don't know, just something about Kielbasa I don't think is
funny. Well, like, in the context of, like, the show, the moment where they sing that song, they become door-to-door rockers, and it's like a bad moment for a rock star. So they knock on a door, some lady holding a baby opens the door, and they just start singing Kielbasa. Of course, she's like, okay, bye, and close the door. They're like, okay, awesome, next house.
It does nothing for me. It does absolutely nothing for me. I think the refrain is, your butt cheeks is warm. I caught myself singing that to myself, because it's funny, but, like, I don't know, just singing about your own penis is only funny for so long. One Note Song is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Honestly, the skits are funnier than some of the songs.
Yeah, I know. That's really hard to do when you have skits in your album.
Yeah, they're just really so stupid in the best way possible.
Yeah, like, in a complimentary way. Jack Black, like, really does this humor a lot of justice. Kyle's kind of the sidekick. I think that's apparent. But
I like how angry Kyle gets every now and then.
You hear Kyle laughing when they're doing stuff on drive-thru. When he cuts out, he's like, when Kyle's taking his order and Jack's just taking 2 minutes to take his, he's like, oh, geez, Kyle. You can hear Kyle have to move away from the mic because he's laughing. He's like, that's it. I'm done.
That is the funniest part on this album.
I don't know. I kind of like the... Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's that. Out of every album that we listened to for the podcast today, I only laughed out loud once, and it was during Drive Through. It was when it started out, you know, he was annoyed, and then it moved very quickly from annoyance to anger. He goes, shut up! Shut up! Like, yelling at the drive through person. Like, it just took me by surprise.
From the beginning of the track, it's amazing, because, you know, he's like, Kyle, get up, let's go get food. And then they start making car noises with their mouth. And then they leave, they do the same thing. I love the guy in the speaker.
He asks
him at the beginning, he's like, do you want seasoned curly fries? Jack's like, don't offer me anything.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
what I want.
He asks for those fries.
Small season curly.
Small! Because I'm trying to watch my figure. I love how angry he gets.
He just gets furious so ridiculously
fast. But what's great about these guys is that not only how funny they are, but how talented they are.
I mean, sure, they're just
not a great musical moment. Like,
Tribute is actually a great song. I don't want to.
Wonder Boy's a great song. And
Wonder Boy's a good song.
It's the only song from this that I knew beforehand, which I heard it.
Wow, you had never heard Tribute?
Nope.
Man.
What did you think of it?
It was very good. Yeah, it was enjoyable. I still think Wonder Boy is probably my favorite.
That's a great song.
It's funnier than
Mind
Tribute.
Bullets and Yaks.
Tribute
and
is actually
that.
Like better for the songwriting. I love the little acapella part. I always have. I just
funny.
Like,
another moment.
They
there's
do so
a
well there. It's
another
really
funny
good.
Moment in the TV show. There's an early version of Tribute, and where it stops and Kyle plays Stairway to Heaven, which means the song they played when the demon appeared was Stairway to Heaven, the greatest song in the world. A nice little...
A nod to that song. Yeah, that is funny. That's
so, like, so when you see it in the show, that's what he plays. You're like, oh, so the song they played was Stairway to Heaven. And the joke is they forgot the song, so they had to make a tribute to the song. It's really funny.
Because it's funny. The idea of it's funny. It's like, what if we wrote, like, the song, and the joke is it's the greatest song in the world. They take it even further. They're like, what if we write a tribute to the greatest song in the world that we wrote? Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think my favorite songs on here are, like, the smaller ones, like... Karate, Kalk with the Band, Explosivo. These are tracks that I will never, ever not love. Kalk with the Band is...
And then the
when
very
the drums
track.
Kick in, the drummer, Dave Grohl, is legendary. You can never go wrong when Dave Grohl is behind the kit on your album. Funny enough, you knew who produced this album, Jacob.
The Dust Brothers. Yeah, looking at the personnel for this album, there were a lot of really hilarious surprises. So the Dust Brothers, who were legendary producing and as far back as, like, the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique, produced the album. Dave Grohl is on drums. There's a lot of other people here. The pianist from Fish is on keyboards, Paige McConnell. Bob Odenkirk wrote Friendship Test. this is just... There are the people in the background here were kind of hilarious, just the people that I recognize.
This album had a lot of great people behind it to elevate the comedy. But that moment when Kyle quits the band when the drums kick in, he's like, what we gonna do with all the cash? Dun, dun, dun. Smoke cash. Dun, 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 dun.
I think like moments like that go over, though. There are a couple of moments that aren't of a humor that I would say I think is that funny anymore.
Oh, yeah. This,
like on Rock Your Socks, which is a great song up until Jack Black says, and I quote, squeeze out a Cleveland Steamer onto my chest. No matter how good the chorus and the playing is right after that moment, I am cringing till the end of that track. I think that moment is
the
awful.
Humor. The humor,
which
is definitely
terrible, because the intro to the track is awesome and like hilarious. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6. It's awesome, even though it's like very.
That reminds me of the Pixies during "Monkey Gone to Heaven." There's a moment very similar to that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a reference, but it's
actually, the humor has definitely not aged well, but there's just, it's so
no, it's fine.
Charlie,
I think it's
stupid.
It's fine.
I think it's
aged a lot
fine.
Of the moments, honestly.
Well, it's not for everyone. It's definitely not for
everyone. If you've sat around with a couple of guitars and just made stupid little songs with a friend before, like, you've probably experienced this album in some way or another.
That's very true.
Like, one note song, I was like, I've lived this.
Yeah.
Inward singing.
I love some of the inward singing is hilarious. And it's in a great moment right before Kyle with the band. Explosivo is actually another great song. Mm-hmm. Hard F***ing is really funny. It's the only, like, sex-related moment that I think is hilarious on the album.
Where he's
like, I laugh really hard every time Jack's like, well, you know. You just let her get on top. And she starts f***ing hard. Like, oh, you like that? I'm like, oh, he's a genius.
Let's talk about the ending track, City Hall.
It's awesome.
A wonderful end.
It's
a
awesome.
Wonderful
it's
end.
It's completely ridiculous. I love when he tries to get Kyle to go away. He's like, look, the red light's beeping. He answers like, there's a famine. You have to go. All right, is he gone? All right, emergency parliament meeting. Kyle can't be the king anymore. Jack is a huge on this album to Kyle. And
well, that's the relationship throughout
the character development and the arc that goes over the course of this album. I think things really fell apart at Karate Schnitzel, which the skit is way funnier than the song. When he just walks over, you ate my schnitzel. He's like, how about that? He's like, ow, what? He's like, yeah, it's karate chop. It's awesome.
I love Double Team is another.
That's actually another.
No, I love the deep story arc when Kyle quits the band and then comes back in the very next song.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the, it's a bait and switch classic narrative thing. Double Team is the only funny sex song, and it's actually like kind of good. Like I found my against.
I love the sax on it.
Against my own body, I was like, oh, this song's kind of dumb. And I was like, I'm not really into the humor on this track. But against my own will, I was like, well, hold on. So here comes Kyle. Kyle's in the room now. The Road's great. The Road's one of my favorite songs.
That's
a
great song.
I love the little ad-libs he has on here. The Road is f***ing tough. Like, I love the, like, I'm going to use every word. It's really funny. But it's the only road I know. It's really funny. Very ZZ Top of them, too, actually.
That's true, yeah.
It's really funny. I don't know. I'm kind of out of things to say.
Yeah, this is, I really enjoyed this album. I don't know if I love it as much as the two of you do.
I think it's really funny. Like, I don't love it
it's
all the
funniest.
It's less of a music experience.
Yes,
honestly.
For me, like, musically, I enjoyed it, but
I to love
a lot of it. I know you're saying that, but, like, I didn't connect with the songs themselves.
I mean, like, Kyle's
that much.
So, but, like, you see the talent they have. Kyle's
talent doesn't
talent?
Equal
yeah.
enjoyability for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Anyone
no,
didn't care for the sound?
No, I cared for it. I just didn't love it. I still really enjoyed the album, but I didn't absolutely adore it, you know?
This is, like, a big thing in forming a musical opinion. Is, like, there's so much music out there because it's hard to learn to write a song, but once you do it, anyone can write a song. But not everyone writes compelling songs. Sure, the playing is great. The playing is great on tons of other albums that I like more than this or hate more than this. It's just not one of, like, talent does not equate to, oh, I enjoy this, or I personally...
Well, I think that's the joke. Like, the greatest band in the world, but they're writing songs about...
Well, they're,
right,
like, they're
it
dumb,
is.
They can't play...
I do think
they
the comedy is on point.
They together, like, eight songs.
They had to write a tribute to the greatest song in the world that they forgot. Like, that's the gag.
The comedy is great on this album. I laughed out loud again during Drive Thru. I was... Very well entertained throughout the entirety of the
what
album.
What a great closer.
It's quite,
I was all right with it. To me, it dragged a little bit. It
okay.
was a little,
so,
went on a little while.
So that one dragged for you.
Yeah, it did. Musically,
Park
I was just like, I don't know, I've heard a hard rock, longer hard rock song like this a
I
lot.
I think the songwriting is pretty great on this song. I think it stays interesting, and the narrative is the funniest part, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty funny. That's true.
Yeah, I just love when he poisons Kyle. I love when they're like, no more rich and poor. We're all going to be... The same. I have to think about that one. It's awesome. This thing is funnier than it is good. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of skits on here. And skits, I don't want to, I when I thought about writing this album, I was like, I don't want to like put this up there with like some of the greats, because a lot of it's not great. It's just really funny. Funny, like a light nine. It's
yeah,
really,
I'm with
really
you
funny.
On that. Like a nine on
and
the
like,
funny
and
scale.
It's funny because it's a lot of it's crude and some of it's cringy and doesn't pay off. But I still think it's funnier than either of the other albums we heard by a margin too. Like measurably funnier than Weird Al. As far as enjoyability, I feel like a decent 7 on this thing. Kind of a little. I actually like it more than They Might Be Giants as a whole listening experience because it's 50 minutes, but it really doesn't feel that long. Even though there's a lot of skits here, I kind of putting my foot in my mouth here. Even though there's a lot of skits in a row sometimes. I mean, I think they're spaced out nicely with the songs.
There's not skits in a row. It's a skit, song, song, skit, song, 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 skit.
Yeah,
usually. There's never two skits together.
Some of the songs, some of the songs are pretty forgettable, even though when I'm listening to them, like, haha, but I don't really remember.
I thoroughly disagree. There's not a single forgettable song.
I give it a 9 for funny, a 7 overall.
I'm exactly the same. 9 funny, 7 overall.
8 out of 10 on funny, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, see, I knew it. I knew it.
No, because this is a very important album to me. I grew up like middle school. Like I've loved this band for a long time, and it's just so.
Friendship Test is funny too.
And I think what makes it so much more compelling to me is that like I literally made a band with one of my good friends at the time, inspired by this band. So it's very important to me.
Yeah. If I would have heard this album in middle school, I would have been like. Traumatized. I was at the private Christian school at that time.
Oh yeah, this is unapologetic and raw as it gets.
I would have actually been more to Chaz's thing if I heard this when I was younger. I'd have been like, it's a masterpiece and it's funny and because it was more what I was looking for.
But no, and I'll admit, like as an older and I've heard much better comedy. Like some of the comedy is a little childish, but it's so done with such vigor and intensity with Jack Black and Kyle Gass that
I think they're really funny.
It's
they've got a lot of charisma and chemistry with each other too.
Mm-hmm.
Next time it'll be an unthemed episode, and my album is a pretty easy pick. It's a very well established classic, the Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, which was produced by the Dust Brothers, who also produced Tenacious D. So there's our connection there. 1989 hip-hop release, and I guess it'll be interesting to talk about how it has aged since then.
We're going to listen to 2017's, this is my pick, I'm Brian. We're going to listen to 2017's Benito Generation from indie music trio Kiro Kiro Benito.
My pick is, I believe, 1994 release of Teenager of the Year, which is very odd because we've talked about Pixies with Weird Al's style parody. It's an album that I've heard a few songs from that I really liked, and I've always wanted to listen to the whole album. Of course, Pixies, Frank Black, you can't go wrong there, so I'm very excited to hear his first, I believe this is his debut solo release. So I'm very interested to see how it holds up, if it's good, and what you guys think of it.
Join us again next time when we, again, hopefully, end a podcast without threatening to kill each other. Thanks for listening.